Hello everyone, God bless you, welcome to church. Now, today you are for a special treat. You hear the English Bibles read with Bulgarian accent. Anyway. One interesting fact, just to tell, like the Bible, the third language that the Bible was translated was Bulgarian. It was, and it's a real fact, it was in 9th century, actually. Greek and Latin were the official languages, and Bulgarian became the third official language of the Bible. Yeah. I can read it in Bulgarian, but you won't understand it anyway. So let's see how I will go with, will fare with the English translation. It's NIV, and for me it's more easy to understand than King James. I like King James, but my wife likes it better than me anyway. It's too old for me. Anyway, so let's go. So the Bible reading today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses from 4 to 10. And you know, when you sent me the message, I thought it's Ecclesiastes actually. And today Brian told me, oh, today you have the reading Ephesians. I said, come on, it was Ecclesiastes. I checked, actually it was Ecclesiastes. And Ephesians, not Ecclesiastes. Anyway, okay, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us, in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I remember last time, I can't remember exactly, when you said which are one of the most important verses, this is one of the most important.
Wonderful passage. Dimitri has to go back to his wife now because they've got visitors. So he's got to go look after his visitors. Now, you get bonus points for being out today. It's so cold out there. So I think as you walk through the gates of heaven, pick up your bonus points. So just in the left little stand there, get your bonus points for being here today. In 1903, there was a guy born in China, a guy called Watchman Lee. And he wrote the book called Sit, Walk and Stand. It's a wonderful book. He lived until 1972. But he grew up in a Christian family, but didn't become a Christian until he was about 17 in 1920, the year before the Communist Party was formed in Shanghai, about 200 kilometres northeast of him, so right in that region of China. Within a few years, he started planting churches and he started writing books, and he began to write lots and lots of books, and he actually wrote over 50 books in his lifetime. But as he was travelling around China and he was starting what really is known as the house church movement today, the Communist Party began to rise and to rise. And in 1949, the communists took over through Mao. Watchman Nee started to get persecuted, and so the communists grabbed groups and groups of people who started to denounce Watchman Nee. Even many of the people that he had ministered to, they'd stand up. And so that they didn't go to jail for the rest of their lives, they'd denounce Watchman Lee. And he was put into jail in 1952. He wrote this book in 1957, so 5 years after being in jail. He died in 1972, having spent 20 years in jail. Imagine the circumstances in which he was there. And there was only one person who was allowed to visit him, that was his wife. And they'd said to him he was about to be released in about 1972, and she died within a year of that event. So he never got to spend time with his wife again. And he wrote this wonderful book called Sit, Watch, Walk, Stand. If you actually do a search to the Bible and you go to Psalm 1, it uses these same ideas, but in the alternate version, basically saying, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or take seat in the company of mockers. And Watchman Nee takes these and he interprets them in a different way when you found them in Ephesians. And we're going to spend some time in the next three times that I preach looking at these three themes. Now, I was sitting at the hospital, the doctor's on Tuesday morning, and, 9 o'clock appointment, you kind of think that's not too bad in the morning, we won't be too late. Yeah, never works that way, does it? So kind of 25, 30 minutes later on, I was starting to get a little bit wound up and annoyed because I am a person who likes to be on time or early. And I thought, oh, make use of this time. So I brought out a devotional that is called Day by Day that I've been reading lately. And as I read it, this is the passage that came up in there. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, maybe that was a word to me, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And one of the things we need to understand as Christians is that we come to God as people of weakness. We come to God as people of failures. I put down a list of some of the failures that happened in the Bible. Look at this one. Abraham lied. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Peter rebuked God. That's a very dangerous thing to do. Noah got drunk. Jonah was a racist. Jacob lied. John Mark deserted Paul. And on and on and on it goes. And this is just a short list of all the failures. The Bible is quite unique in the way that it never hides over, it never wallpapers over the cracks of the lives of the people who follow God. It's very realistic about the way in which we fail. And it's because we are weak and flawed, we need to begin, the Ephesians says, from a position of sitting. Sitting is used in a particular way to talk about where we stand with God. Any scuba divers in the room? Yeah. When you're doing scuba diving, you start as open water. Open water means you can go, I just forget, is it 12 or 18 metres under? I forget now. You can go to a certain depth. And then you do advanced diving, which allows you to go deeper because you've got to have better technique. And then above that, you can go and become a rescue diver. So in 2006, I'd been diving for a while and I decided I'd do the rescue diving course in Watson's Bay up in the eastern suburbs, beautiful spot up there. And one of the things we had to learn was how to deal with somebody who was drowning, particularly another scuba diver who was struggling and was drowning and was panicking. And one of the things we learned is you never go to somebody who's panicking. You never go close to them because if you're 20 metres under the water and you've got somebody who's panicking and you go near them, they grab your rig and they pull it out and you're drowning as well. So you never go near a panicking person. There's only really 2 techniques. One, you get round the back of them so you can grab their tank and you can hold them so they can't move, or you simply wait from a distance and let them stop panicking generally because they've passed out in some way. And it's only at the point where they stop panicking that you then go in and you grab their rig or your rig and you put it in their mouth and then you take them up to the surface. You cannot save somebody who's panicking, who's trying to save themselves. This is the image that the Bible says to us. When it talks about sitting, it's talking about somebody who is not trying to work to do something to save themselves. We need to begin from the position where we stop struggling and we simply accept what God does. That's why we use that video today and that beautiful scene where it says, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice and said, son, you know I still love you. And then it carries on, the only time I ever saw God run was when he ran to me. But remember earlier on in that story of the prodigal had taken all the money from his father and had gone and he had lived it in all sorts of ways. And notice the father never condemns him for the life that he lived. But he can only run to him when the son came back and he thought, you know, even my father's servants eat with the pigs. They eat better than I do. I will go back to my father and say that I will become your servant. But the father saw him coming back in that period of humility and he ran to him and he put his arms around him. And so we need to come to God understanding that it's at the point where we stop struggling, it's at the point where we sit with God in his presence. There's a couple of verses in there. It says in verses Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Think about that for a while. We sit with Jesus beside the Father because he has done everything already. Go back to Genesis 2 and that story of Genesis where it talks about the seven days of creation. When was man and woman created? Which day? The sixth day. God worked 6 days. And then on the seventh day it says God rested. Man and woman's first day was when they were created, but their first day was to sit in the rest. Our week begins with Sabbath. Our week begins with doing nothing. Our week begins with sitting. Somebody said, you know, we have a faith that is the great done, not the great do. We don't come to God to do things for him. We come to God because the work has already been done on our behalf. And I think it's one of the hardest things in faith to sit and to wait and to stop and to think about where we begin. You all know that Linda's father died last Sunday afternoon. Got to say, this is the wedding photo. Gorgeous. And this is my father-in-law. He was on a postcard, a phone card from Telstra. And that was actually a picture on the front page of, I can't remember which newspaper.
Telegraph.
The whole front page was this picture. The thing I learnt from my father-in-law was this. I could never pay for a meal. Whenever we went out, Ted would always pay. And when I go out with my kids now, I will never let them pay when I take them out because it's the father's job to pay the bill. It's the father's job. That's really significant, isn't it? When you think about it, it's not just an act of love. It's actually what we're here for. We're here to do something for our children, and the father has done it for us. The father has paid the bill. I've been trying to learn how to play chess lately. Anybody play chess? I have learnt that you set up your chess set with the right bottom corner is the white box. Now I know how the chess set goes. That white one has to be right at the right-hand corner. You cannot play a game of chess unless the chess is set up right. Everything needs to begin from the right position before you can get into the game. And that's the problem, is we are often trying to begin from the wrong position. We have to learn to sit with God. Has anybody seen those champagne glasses sometimes they do at a wedding? You know, they'll stack them up high and high, lots at the bottom and a few, and eventually there'll be one at the top. And they begin pouring the champagne from the top. The top glass has to be filled up before it trickles down. When we sit with God in his love, the love is poured into us and then overflows. If we want to learn to forgive people, we have to learn first to be forgiven, to sit in our forgiveness, then out of our sitting, we are able to forgive others. We don't begin with forgiving others, we begin with receiving forgiveness. We begin with receiving grace, we begin with receiving love, and we sit in that place, in the heavenlies with God. And then out of that flows everything else. We need to be a people who do less so that we can do more. It's not being lazy, it's just beginning from the right position. Ephesians says in that wonderful verse, and God raised us up with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Ephesians begins by saying we have everything we need in what Christ has given for us. Invite these guys to come up. We're going to be about to sing our last song, but before we sing our last song, this is the song, Are You Washed in the Blood? It's an old classic hymn that many of us know. But have you ever noticed right in the middle there, do you rest each moment in the crucified? We begin by sitting in what God has done, that we can be able to minister to the world the love that they need from us. So let's stand and sing together. Are you washed in the blood?